Thank God for the wonderful song service, for the anointing song service, and for the opportunity to open the pages of God's Word and read and learn and worship the Lord our God. What an opportunity we have, what a privilege we have. I'm afraid a lot of times we take it lightly. We that were born and reared in church from the time we knew anything, mother probably carried us there from the time she was with child. And for us, we kindly take it granted. Another Sunday, another opportunity to go to church. But then for the newcomer, for those people who got saved later in life, maybe didn't have the church experience, they probably take it even more importantly than some of us do. So I don't want us to be complacent. I don't want us to be just satisfied, because God's got a work for us to do. Turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 3, rather, and we'll concentrate on church 5. On verse 5, I don't know if everyone can see this flag or not. Miss Mary Stewart was led to send this little table here. I didn't want it sitting on the ground for long. We call this an altar, and it is. But still, I got something about reverence for the flag. I don't want it to be sitting on the ground or even on the floor if we can have it. For those of you who wasn't here last week, we talked about this flag. I was at Camp Zion a couple weeks ago. And John Carl Lancaster found this folded flag in his closet. He didn't tell me the details of that, but God said, take it to Camp Zion. When I first saw it, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, don't you leave here without that flag. So the Lord had me go up and get $300 to camp to get that flag to bring here, because God's going to use it. It's already used it in my heart. So many ways. Last week, we looked at the book of Isaiah, where it was prophesied by the Lord 105 years ahead of time that Israel, Judah, would be going to Babylon. It told what they would be doing. They'd be serving in the king's court. Then we looked at the book of Daniel, and we saw verification. God's word is true, just like God said it would turn out. Then we looked at Daniel, how even though he marched with the rest of those people from Judah probably 3 or 4 months, can you imagine? I can't imagine. The sadness, we're leaving their hometown, probably never get to return again, although the Lord promised 7 years later they would return, but those individuals, some of them didn't get to return. And they were going there because God decreed. He told them they would be going into bondage. So they didn't give up. They said, oh, what does it really matter? God's still God. I belong to him. And he orders my path. We're going to read in Proverbs chapter 3 how he orders our path. And then we'll talk more about it. In Proverbs chapter 3. And by the way, just because we look back at Daniel, and we look at those prophecies that was given, we said, we're a long time past that. We're Americans. We live in the a new century. Oh, but God's word's still true. It's true for you. It's true for me. Let's read the text together in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. My son, that's you if you're born again. My son, my daughter, my children. Forget not my law, but let that heart keep my commandments. He told us his commandments are not grievous. I've heard people say it's such a hard thing to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, it's a hard thing not to live a Christian life. But it's such a pleasure, such an honor. And he said, don't forget my law and keep my commandments for length of days. This is a reason he promises that if we'll do his word. God's promises are conditional. Now, he's already said, if you'll do this, look what he'll do. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. When God tells us something to do, he gives us opportunity to say, okay, I do it. And I keep those commandments for the right reason, I hope, that we do. Not just because he said so, so I got to do it. No, it is a delight. It is a joy to be able to try to keep his commandments and abide therein. And he promises for those that do, he'll add to our life. He'll add to everything about us. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. He is telling us to make it the most important thing in your life to keep those commandments. Bind them in your heart. Think about them when you rise in the morning. Think about them all the day long. Think about the commandments and the opportunities and the pleasure and the joys unspeakable and full of glory it is to be a child of God in these dark days. Such an opportunity that we have God's precious word. Open up the pages and see how he's going to direct their life. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Look carefully at verse 4. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. We realize that some people are just hard to get along with. But he told us that he can add to that. We'll find good favor if we strive in our heart to keep his commandments from the abundance of your heart or mouth speaketh. And then he will even cause other people to change your attitude. I can't cause anybody to change your attitude, and you can't either. Sometimes we have trouble keeping their own heart and their own attitude right, in spite of all the things that's going on. But see, God adds to that. He can cause people to have a different viewpoint toward you and the things of God just because of the life you live for him and through him. So important. We'll get down to a verse I want to look at. That would be verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I trust him because I know I can. And I trust him because I know he's in control of everything. My life, this nation, everything. So I can trust him. And then he said, if I do, I won't lean anymore upon my understanding. It's so vague, so small compared to what he knows. Why would I even endeavor to try to lean or accept my understanding of the way things are when I can trust him? And he said that he will be more than happy. He thrives. He just loves with all his heart to help us understand the things of God. Verse 6. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. Not just one or two of them. But in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So this is another conditional promise. You and I don't do such a good job directing our paths. You've tried it, I've tried it, and when we go a separate way from what God's leading us, it doesn't work out. And he said if we will let him direct our paths. Now, he wants to. He's more than happy to do so. And what will cause him to direct our paths? And speak to your hearts and tell us which direction to go. Simple. Acknowledge him. Trust him. Put your faith in him. And then we will see what a great God we're serving, how he thrives and how he wants to help us in our everyday life. And then when we let him direct our paths, business picks up in our heart. And that trust builds. And that faith increases. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Remember last week we looked at the book of Daniel and we saw that Daniel was more than happy to be in a foreign country. Not that he wouldn't have preferred to be back at his own, but we saw and realized that he was content because he knew he was in God's will. He was obeying the scripture here. He was happy because God had given him the opportunity to go to a foreign land and be used of God. No matter your situation and mine, we can be used of God, and blessings will come from him if we will adhere to his principles. I don't argue with God. I've learned better, But every time God tells me to do something, there is something about you that you dread. For instance, this message this morning, I dread it. How come? It's going to be a joy to preach it, but the thing I dread about it, I'm afraid that you will think or that it's about me. And I'm going to try to take everything of it. It's not about me. It's about him directing my path. And if you look at your own life and you brag on God how he's directed your path, then others think, well, you're just blowing and bragging. I said, no, no, no. That's the part I dread about it, because when I talk about how God's directed their path, I don't want anyone to think it's about me, because I have learned that my ways don't work out too good. In fact, in the message, we'll refresh my own memory and let you know that some of the things I've done in my life hasn't worked out so good. On the other hand, if I listen to the Lord and I follow his direction, it'll work out just the way he wants it to, in spite of my difficulties, in spite of my lack of understanding. My understanding is vague, and I'm afraid a lot of us is it. But if we can learn, as Scripture said, to put our trust in him. So I want to go back and relate to the flag, because the Lord first gave me a desire to have faith in him at Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. Been there, going there 44 years. I was saved, but God has used that place. God uses places. Remember, Daniel prayed three times a day. What did he pray? What was his position when he prayed? He went to a window and looked toward Jerusalem. God has a place. He ordains places. And Dr. Percy Ray, and God sends people. God sent a great man of Isaiah. He sent Jeremiah. He sent Daniel. He sent other people. And he sent them to places. And God used them in my life. And then the reason I am pastor at Fletcher First Baptist Church, because God sent me here, but he used Dr. Percy Ray to get through to him, to them, because Percy Ray introduced, God showed me this, was the reason I'm at Fletcher First Baptist Church on answered prayers. God answered my prayers, yes. But see, God will do what he pleases. But if you have a man of God like Dr. Percy Ray and a place where he chose like Camp Zion, he adheres to that. And I want to look this morning at, I first came here in 1993, and then I came here, and boy, I didn't know anything. I didn't know much at all about serving God. I'd been preaching a long time, but I was still learning. And God brought me low. You've heard me tell this story before. In the hospital, 35 days, peritonitis, probably with my own self, I would have died. But God brought me through. And when he brought me here back, first Sunday I came back, I didn't do anything. I sat in the front seat, no sanctuary, and Darren was preaching, although he wasn't a preacher yet. He was doing filling in for me, and 16 got saved. And God started building the church. He started building a church. I just learned when all my sickness to get out of the way. I learned when I was in the hospital, too sick to talk, too sick to pray, but I was not too sick to hear. That's one of the important things in our life. We remember that one of our senses is listening. Just keep your mouth shut sometimes and listen. And God spoke to my heart. He gave me, because of the United States of America, he gave me a burden for America that I'd never had before. In fact, he told me that I want you to go to every state capital, all 50 of them, and pray for a revival. Camp Zion, I learned at Camp Zion, call America back to God, praying for a revival of the Baptist Church, and learning more about the moving and operation of the Holy Spirit. And God implied that on my heart. So when he spoke to my heart, the Lord did, said, go to all 50 states. I quickly agreed with him, because I don't dare not disagree with him. I'm not going to disagree with him. And three times he confirmed that. Sometimes he don't have to confirm it three times, but sometimes he will do that to let you know. He looked ahead to the future, and sometimes when I would maybe have got out of heart, he let me know three times, that's what you do. And I said, okay, Lord, I will, but I don't know how that's going to happen. Full-time pastor, full-time employee at General Electric Company in Hendersonville, and our church was small, and this was in 1995 this occurred. And just want to slow down a minute. A lot of you people here, thank the Lord for you. I want everybody that was here at our church, come in our church in 1995. Will you just take 30 seconds, Dan? 1995. Not very many of us were there. And we wasn't very many then. Thank you, you can be saved. Wasn't very many then either. But God told me to do it. And so Darren was my associate pastor. And I said, Darren, draw a map of the United States and draw all the states in. If God put on your heart, I told him, to go to the state and pray. I want to let the church get involved too. And pray in for a nation. And a lot of states were colored in and people went to those states and prayed. But God gave me the charge. He told me to do it. So I'm letting other people help, but he still told me individually to do it. Now, I didn't know that was how it was going to happen, but God said, I'll let that happen. Remember the verse I read? In all thy ways acknowledge him. Trust him, hear his voice, and agree with him, and he would do the path directing. And as soon as I told the church, that's what we're going to do, and that's what I'm going to do, because God's going to, he already told me he's going to direct. The next Tuesday, got a phone call from Phoenix, Arizona, 48th capital, 48th state. Won't you come out here and teach a course for 3 days to a bunch of people that work for the city, and G's paying the bill, of course. And so I got there and did that, and then went to Capitol to pray. Had 3 more days before I came back home for a Sunday service. So I looked, and it was just 1 day from Santa Fe, New Mexico, which was the 47th state. So Sandra and I went there and prayed. And then I just thought, since God's doing the opening, this is going to be easy. And I just had the thought, while I'm out here, I maybe just go to Austin, Texas, which was the 46th state. And God interrupted my thought pattern and said specifically, are you going to arrange this? Are you going to let me? And I said, well, I'm going to let you. I'm just thinking. So I just looked at the map. And from the time I was back in Phoenix at the time, Austin was 1,000 miles away, 2 full days there and back to catch a plane. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to let you do it. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from Department of Transportation of Texas. In Austin, state capital, of course, and said, every product you're sending from Hendersonville, North Carolina, to us, they don't meet specifications. Therefore, nothing can be hung on the highway or anything in Texas till it's straightened out. So I started checking our products. Said they meet spec wonderfully. And a new lady manager had something to prove, I think. She said, well, yours may, but they don't know out here. I said, okay, I don't want to make a trip in vain, although I'd like to get to Austin. But you test the product, send it back to me, and I'll test the same thing. And her readings were 20% too low, and I realized we were right. But I had to make a trip to Austin. When I got there, 20 minutes is all it took. Now, this is not me. Believe me, it's not me. I've got nothing. You think I could plan all that? No, I'm just letting him direct my path. I saw the mistake they were making. They were using a certain probe on an oscilloscope, and they were attenuating the readings by 20%. And so I pointed that out to her. She was quite embarrassed, of course. And the sales rep for the whole state of Texas was there, and he was giving her a hard time. I took him aside and said, listen, don't you realize this lady's made a mistake and she's sorry for it now? In the future, if you'll be nice to her, this is a lesson for us. Don't point your finger at people and try to brag that I'm right and you're wrong. No, no, no. She was so pleasant and so nice. I said to the sales rep, listen, if you will just show respect to her and say anybody can make a mistake, do you realize there will be other times in the next few years when we may be marginal? If you're nice to her, she's going to give us the benefit of the doubt because we're doing her a favor. I never got it through to him. Some people, you just can't adjust their attitude. So he was cruel and mean to her the whole time. But from that standpoint, that was the third. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from Tallahassee, Florida. It happened to be another state capital. That they had problems down there with football fields and baseball fields not working, the lighting not working. So I ended up going down there 2 weeks later. See, this is all just because I agree with God. I'll do what you want me to do. And not gripe about it. The only gripe I had with him, I said, now, Lord, every state capital that I'm going to have to go to is in a large city, I guess. And I don't like to drive in big cities. He said, I'll handle that too. Don't worry about it. And now, after Tallahassee, Florida, I ended up going to Indianapolis, Indiana, another state capital. See, God is arranging all these. And then Indianapolis, Indiana. And then I had to go to Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin. Another problem there. And then the John Deere plant in Des Moines, Iowa. Large John Deere had problems. And in just a few weeks' time, God had arranged 7 state capitals. You think I could do any of that? Nothing. I'm just telling you, when God says do something, and you know he said it, just agree with him. He'll open the doors, and when you go through. But the whole object was I was getting more and more a burden for America. See, every time I got to go there and GE's paying the bill, you say, wait a minute, you're using GE's time. Oh, no, no, no. When I go on trips for GE, I work 12 and 14 hours a day without extra pay. So it wasn't me cheating them. I was doing this off time, maybe on a Saturday or something. But God put it in my heart to pray for America. And in those days, and now we have a flag that's flying, that's wonderful. But see, God can use you as a church and me to have that burden, that desire to pray for America. Well, we need it, don't we? And if God will burden your heart to pray for America, well, let me continue real fast. I don't have time to go one by one with them. But it wasn't very long that I had already 22 state capitals, and the Lord had directed all those. And if it had been up to me, I wouldn't have been able to do 2 of them, pay the cost of getting there and everything. God opens doors, and we go through those doors, and God gets the glory for it. See, I don't get any glory for it. I haven't done anything getting glory for it. It's all of the Lord. And then, pretty soon, we had all 50 states colored in, but I had not been to all of them. Some of the other people had been. And God reminded me, just because your church has prayed for all 50 states, you haven't. And I said, okay. He said, get on it. So I arranged another trip. And God arranged a trip. And this trip was on 9/11. On 9/10, Sandra and I left on a Sunday afternoon. And the first stop we made was at a capital in Missouri. And while the bombing was going on in the New York City, New York, God had me there ahead of time praying at the Capitol. And God has got so much for us to do. It wasn't very long until we had I individually got to do all 50 states. There again, it's not me. I didn't do anything. I was blessed to be able to go there. To be able to say, I have been doing what God wants me to do. How important it is. And if you and I will strive at doing what God wants us to do, let's look at the book of Daniel in closing. I do not want to bring any attention to myself whatsoever. This was God's opening door, and God used it. Hopefully, it got our church a burden to pray for our nation. And hopefully, by God giving me the desire to bring this flag back, to reunify the fact that we're still praying for America. We got more problems now than we did in 1995 in all these years, I'll assure you. And if there's ever a time that we need to pray, it's now. Pray for our nation. We don't know how much longer we have, but we do know our nation is drifting far, far from the peaceful shore. I was talking to someone yesterday, someone, an old timer like myself, and we were relating how we grew up. How we grew up. I didn't have any electricity. We didn't have electricity till I was in second grade. I'm not complaining. I'm saying that was a good old day. That was a day where families were close. God was first in their nation. You didn't have all the convenience, and I'm not complaining that we got conveniences now. Somebody said the other day, what did we ever do without a cell phone? I said, I tell you exactly what we did. I would go on a trip, and without a cell phone, I had to call somebody at the hospital. I'd go to, I'd use a motel, and in those days, they'd charge you $8 a minute long distance in a motel. Well, I couldn't afford that, so I'd go across the street and get those phone booths and stick quarters then, you know. That's what we did before the cell phone. Thank God for the cell phone. Even though I lose mine 4 or 5 times a day, but it's got a ringer on it. But God has helped us. God has increased us. He's brought us to where we are. And then let me tell you briefly, since everyone wasn't here when this happened. Last state I went to was Washington State. I had been right down the interstate, and I could see the Capitol a few years before, but somebody else in our church had went there, so that was the time when, well, I know God told me to do it, but if we do it, that's okay. And God said, okay, so you go back. He said, then this time, while you're praying Olympia, Washington, you go to the northwest corner. By the way, when God told me to go all 50 states and pray, he also said, and 7 places on the perimeter of the 48 states, and I'll show you where they are. I kind of forgot about that. But he said, while you're there, go to the northwest corner. So I went right before Christmas, and they'd already had more snow that year than they had usually all year. When I got there, the car we had rented hadn't got back because of snow, I guess. And they said, well, would you take a SUV? I've heard of a Rattletrap SUV that they have with 150,000 miles on them, and you get stranded somewhere. I said, yeah, I'll take the SUV if it's low mileage. He pulled it out and said, is 7 miles too many? That's pretty good. Brand new Dodge. And we needed that to get to our destination. God knew we did in the snow. So we went, and we went to Niobe. I didn't. This is before GPS. I didn't look at the map. I just knew that the northwest corner has to be on the Pacific Ocean at the Canadian border, somewhere in that vicinity. So we got there through Indian villages, and we went all the way up there. And then you get up there, and you park your car, and you could hear the ocean roaring down below. And there was like 5 trails. Which trail did I take? And the Lord said, take that trail. So I went down that trail, and as I was going down, I had my camera, I always do, U.S. flag, and the Bible. When I got down within probably as far from your fellowship building, the ocean, it started pouring rain right ahead of me, coming my way. And I said, Lord, you didn't send me down here to get wet, my Bible wet, my camera wet. Instantly, the rain quit. The sun came out. Say, I don't believe it. I was there. It happened. Went on over to the ocean, as always. I just opened up God's Word, and wherever I open it to, I read it. And I opened up my Bible to read, and the Lord spoke to my heart and says, close your Bible. I won't talk to you. He's talking to me in the Bible. But he told me, I don't want to talk to you. Present tense. Sandra's in the car 3/4 mile away up a hill. I'm worried about her with all the danger and everything. People, you know, coming into her nation and everything. And I'd probably still be there if it hadn't been for that. But I'm telling you, the Lord talked to me. He talked to me about our church when I get back home. He talked to me about the future. I don't know how long the future holds, of course. But he told me so many things.
And I prayed very little because I was listening. You know, when you pray, don't just do the talking and hang up. Invite him to join the conversation. He's got a lot more to say than you do. And when he talks to your heart, don't forget it. When I go back in my memory and think of all these things that he opened the doors, I'm not breaking on myself. My memory is not the best it can be anymore. But when I'm thinking about those capitals, he shows me my car sitting here, the view of the car. I can see it all. That's not me. When you're in the will of God, doing God's work, you recall the things that he showed you. It's just as vivid as it was when you did it. It's a good way of knowing if it was you did or the Lord did. And God increased us so much. Well, I get back to the motel that night, and he said, take that trail. Then the motel's got a map there. And the trail I was on, naturally, was the most northwest corner in our nation. And then he told me three more places to go to. He'd already said seven. So the southeast corner, southwest corner, and the northeast corner of the continental United States, all done. And I've been to, I was trying to help God out. You ever try to help God out? He said, seven places on the Prairie Nation, I'll show you. He didn't tell me when he'd show me. So I'd done four of them, and I said, well, you know, since he hadn't told me, I'll help God out. So I went to two different places on the Canadian border, and four different places on the Atlantic, and three different places on the Pacific, and two different ones on the southern border, and prayed. And that was good, but that was me doing it, trying to pick the places. Didn't work. Because when you go to where God says go, he meets you there. You go on your own and you're praying, and he don't do much talking. That's good. Praying is wonderful. But when you go where he said go, when he says go, boy, business picks. I can explain to you. Just try it sometime. When he tells you to do something, you do it just like he said. It'd be a miracle how God performs. You got a lost loved one you want to have opportunity to talk to him about, but you dread it because it's hard to talk to people in your own family. Just let God do it. Say, Lord, the right time. You don't prepare what to say. It'll come to you instantly. You prepare the time, you open the door, and I will do it. You'll be amazed how quickly the opportunity, it may be a sickness, whatever. And God used that tragedy, I thought was tragedy, 35 days in the hospital with peritonitis. But even during the time of it, I rejoiced and said, Lord, thank you for allowing me to go through this. You could have chose any preacher you wanted to, but you chose me to bring me through this sickness. And during this sickness, let me learn how to listen. And God is so wonderful. Back to the verse of scripture. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. I'm not going to go in the book of Daniel. It's been so wonderful to be able to refresh. And go back, and this is all God put on my heart. I mean, from the time I went to Camp Zion before, just in the flag, pray for a nation. I want you to stand this morning. Be so good if God puts in your heart to come pray for a nation, for revival in our nation, revival in our church. For someone in your family, would you come to the piano organ, Sister Brennan and Brother Ray? Opportunities God gives us. Don't take it lightly. When God gives an opportunity, and just be willing to say, Lord, I'll go with that verse. I'll acknowledge you. You'll direct my path for that burden you've given me. Could be for a lost individual. Could be for a nation, whatever it is. When God gives you a burden, act upon it. Listen to his voice. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Stranger they will not follow. something about the voice of the Lord. And people say, did he speak audibly? He could, but I'm proud he don't, because I have hearing aids. I might misunderstand. But he speaks so clearly to my heart. I couldn't miss it. Then he confirms it. And when you go and he opens doors, he confirms it again that it was him. Follow the Lord. If you're here this morning, you've never bowed your knee, you've never confessed that you're a sinner, what an opportunity is. We're living in a dark age. I wouldn't count on another day or week or month or year. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but he could come anytime. Would you just come fall on your face? So many things to pray for. People are sick, pray for them. People are hurting, pray for that. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the opportunity of opening up your word, for speaking to us through your word, and speaking to us, Father, when we're praying, and even sometimes when we're just thinking. And if we have those thoughts, and those thoughts are not from you, and we're going to do it a separate way from what you want us to do, you'll speak to your hearts. Thank you, Father. Oh God, I don't do a good job at all directing my paths. Make mistakes and blunders. So help me always to acknowledge you, and you promise you will direct my paths. Father, we thank you that you've placed us here in this wonderful church. You have grown us. It's been you. I've just learned how to get out of the way. Lord, I pray a lot of people will learn that. I'm afraid sometimes we get in your way rather than out of your way. And if we're in the way you displeasing you, we're hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn about the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn about the voice of the Lord. We need to learn, Father, that when we do it your way, you will bless. And I want to thank you for it. I pray, Father, for sinners. I pray that we'll have a burden for sinners, even greater than America. Lord, our nation could fall, and I pray it doesn't, but if it should, there's still people living, and there's still people dying, and there's still people going to hell. And the most important thing to every one of us is where we go after this life. We can have the joys and the pleasures of living for you in this life, and that's wonderful. But Father, everyone we know are not saved, and that troubles my heart. For those people I don't even know, many of those, no doubt, are not saved. I pray for them. Give me a burden, Father, for a nation. Give me a more greater burden for lost people and for our church. I am burdened, Father, but I want a greater burden, if it be your will. Burden my heart. Wake me up during the night. Whatever you need to do, Father, to make sure my steps are ordered by the Lord. Forgive us our sins, trespasses, shortcomings. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.